con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Ranieri back with you here on the show. And the NFL draft is now officially in the rearview mirror. And as Joe and I have been talking about, we promised that as soon as the draft was over, that we would take a look at a lot of the futures odds for 2020 and potentially give you any updated odds. Maybe some teams that we like a little bit more than some others. And I think at this point, Joe, we've kind of established that not a lot of the lines moved a lot.
Right.
And at the very least, if you're going to bet a futures bet and you're going to bet a season win total at this stage of the game on May 1st, you're probably only going under at this point because you're taking a huge risk on any team going over. It would almost lend you to believe, like, okay, like, what could happen for that team to go over? Could they get Leonard Fournette? Like, maybe that could happen. Some, you know, Fournette could go from Jacksonville to another team. But I don't see any team drastically improving. And so if you're going to bet an over, you probably want to wait a little bit closer to the season. If you want to bet an under, there's a lot less risk. And by the way, if somebody does get hurt this offseason or even going into training camp, you would cash in on that under if a key player got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's about value at this point, and you're pretty much searching the board from here on out, looking at, all right, so what do I anticipate? What is the price of where they're at right now? And is there some value there? Can I get 10, 20 cents of value here on some of these future odds in the direction that you think the team is going to go? So we talked about Detroit earlier this week, where we thought they were a little undervalued here on the board. Even though they were a little pricey, but still, they seemed like an 8-8 football team to us, and that was a pretty good number to be able to get out there. So it'll be interesting to see the two you got today and see if there's any value with these.
Yeah, so we'll take a look at a couple of different teams in the NFL. We'll give you the pros, the cons as to if you're going over or if you're going under. Mm-hmm. Again, not much adjustment from the draft, but maybe there should be. It's something that we could certainly talk about. All right, so let's take a look at our first team today and kind of dive into where we see the possibility of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have their season win total right on that number at 9. Seems like the Steelers are either a little bit above or at 9 for the past, 20 years, every single year. Steelers are kind of right there. -110 on the over, -110 on the under. Their odds to win the AFC are 12-1. Their odds to win the AFC North are +340. Baltimore is the clear favorite to win the AFC North. There's no question about that. And so, Joe, they get back Ben Roethlisberger. I think that is key. We had Juju Smith-Schuster, who was hurt all last year. They had horrible quarterback play, maybe the worst in the NFL with Duck Hodges. and who was the other guy? Mason Rudolph.
Rudolph,
was, yeah. And Juju, in his first year as the guy in Pittsburgh, was hurt for the majority of the year. I had him in a fantasy league last year, and I thought, wow, Roethlisberger throwing to Juju all year, this is going to be great. No, not so much.
Right.
And truthfully, Washington, their other wide receiver, like, didn't really step up. Like, they just didn't. And they were right there, Joe, to make the playoffs. They were still knocking on the door of 9-10 wins. So I don't know what Roethlisberger looks like. I would love to know. The quarterback is just a huge factor with these sort of things. So I'm probably not going to be involved in Pittsburgh, but I really like their addition of Claypool. You put Claypool on one side, you put Juju Smith-Schuster on the other. But I got to see Big Ben in a little bit of preseason action to get in on an over here.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a real tough call. I do think they'll be a little bit better than they were last year. They're going to be led, believe it or not, by that defense now. That's kind of what they have become. The running game concerns me a little bit because you can't ask Big Ben to go out there and chuck it around 50 times a game. That's not the kind of football they play. And I really do think Cleveland is going to have a very interesting year this year. So Cleveland and Baltimore, double-digit wins. The under looks, I don't know, tasty to me here at this, sitting at 9. You know, I especially if we're looking at double-digit wins for Cleveland and for
Baltimore. How are you looking at double-digit wins for Cleveland?
I think they can pull 10 wins off this year. Easy. I think they can pull 10 wins off this year. And I'm going based on the fact that we haven't talked about Cleveland once, and we've already made it past the draft, and we're talking people are at home with nothing to do but talk about Cleveland, and we're not. And I think that's the first grown up and intelligent thing I have heard from Cleveland in years. I think Stefanski's, I think the right influence might be in the coaching chair there, putting his finger on the thumb of a lot of talent and also a lot of ego. And so far, he's managed it masterfully, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, look, you may be right. I could never predict the Browns to win 10 games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, but
feels high. It's like three wins higher than last year. It's the same team. Different coach gives you plus one, maybe plus two. Let's not forget Cleveland also beat Baltimore last year. I don't know how that happened, but they beat Baltimore.
Talent. I mean, the bottom line is you got to have talent, right?
They
the problem they had last year is they didn't have any structure. A little structure could be two extra wins here on the year, I think. So because I, like you said, what kind of Big Ben are we getting? Anybody?
No, that I don't know. Yeah, that's a huge factor in this. That is
big time.
That is basically everything. Because, by the way, Big Ben didn't look all that good when he was healthy at the beginning of last year. Remember, he played a couple games.
It was not good. Maybe he's motivated. Maybe he's not. Like you said, though, we haven't seen an awful lot of offseason Big Ben yet. So that's also interesting to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, Tomlin is one of the better coaches in the NFL. Absolutely. Whenever I'm going on and over, I always want to make sure that's like the last thing. Okay, now who is the coach?
Yes.
Because while a coach, I don't think in the NFL is buying you 3 or 4 wins, he can lose you 3 or 4 games. I think he could win you one.
Yep.
I think he could lose you a lot. The coach of the Browns lost them a lot last year. That I will say. They lost them a couple games. So all things being equal, I see the Browns, and we could do the Browns maybe on Monday, but I see the Browns maybe one win better or two. 10 seems a little high, but look, you're right. They have the talent there for sure.
Yep.
All right. So from Pittsburgh, we go to what I think most people will feel is the hottest discussion of the entire NFL offseason, and probably the hottest discussion going into the regular season in a few months. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their season win total is 9.5. Before Brady, it was 7.5. So they got a plus 2 there. And it's even trending toward 10. It's minus 135.
Yep.
The under is plus 115. So you risk $100, you win 115 on a total, which is good if you choose to go that route. Their odds to win the NFC, you're looking at that right. 7-1. No value there. That is for sure.
Yep.
And their odds to win the NFC South is plus 160. Of course, you have the Saints as the favorite. And Joe, a lot of people are going to will their way to the front of the line at the sports book to get Tampa Bay to 10 wins. But I've seen this happen time and time again. The Buccaneers could have a really good season, and Brady could have a really good season, and they could be better than they were last year and could easily just win 9 games.
That's correct.
I mean, very easily. And we could look back on the year and say, wow, the Bucs were exciting and they won more than they lost and Brady threw 30 touchdowns. I could only go under here, man. There's no way I would lay minus 135 on the over. None.
It's so overinflated right now. It's not even funny here, folks. This thing prior to Tom Brady's announcement was 8.5. There was even eights.
Well, I thought 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, there was eights there. Now we're talking 9.5. So Tom Brady, and we're not talking minus 110. We're talking 9.5 at minus 135. It's, you know, when we talk about value, it works both ways, both over and under. And I got to 10 wins. I do not see 10 wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who in all likelihood, guys, they are not that new quarterback, that 43-year-old quarterback of there probably won't hit the field with any of his new wide receivers and teammates until August, if we're lucky, if things go really, really well. So shorter practice time, a lot more up in the air. Timing is a funny thing. You actually have to practice it in order for it to come to fruition. And there's not a lot of, at 9.5 wins, there's not a lot of ground you can give up early. And they might be doing that until they can get in rhythm.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that changes the dynamic of this is that with adding an extra playoff team with the schedule, it also puts teams in a position that anybody that gets 9 wins is in, essentially. Correct. So the Bucs could be on 9 wins going into the last game of the season and have nothing to play for.
Zero. That's
which
correct.
Was never the case in the past.
Yep. Yep.
And they could sit guys on 9 wins and say, you know what? We're not, you know, the Saints won the division. They got their 11 wins. We have 9. You know, we know we're playing anyway on week 1. We're going on the road no matter what. We're the wild card. Let's bench some guys the last week 17. It easily could happen.
Yep. I'm with you. I think there is a serious overvaluing happening here. And to tell you the truth, I don't think it's going to get any less. This could go to 10. I mean, at minus 135 now, we could see a 10 spot on this board before it's all said and done.
That's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. I guess they're taking a lot of action on the over. I mean, that's the only reason why it could be this high, right?
Plus 160 to win the South. Oh, my word. I don't see it. I think they'll be decent. I do not think that. I just think we don't need a lot to go wrong. You know what I mean? We don't need a lot to happen to go wrong in order to win the under in this at 9.5. But anybody who takes the over, you need a lot of things to go right from the start in a 16-week, in a 16-17-week stretch here. I'm not willing to. My money would definitely be on the under because I don't need a lot to go wrong for me to be able to win this bet.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Nope.
Totally agree. I don't see it at all. And
yeah,
maybe they'll shock the world and win 12 games, but I'm scared that it won't happen. By the way, any chance? I guess not. But
yeah, I know.
Remind me. Do me a favor. Remind me this time next year to bet the over on the Colts wins.
Okay.
Because I want to get ahead of the Andrew Luck returning. He's gonna that's gonna happen, right? Eventually.
No way. I don't think.
You don't
so.
Think he's ever coming back?
I think he's done. I think he's
really.
Where
I think he's definitely
where's
coming
he
back.
Last year there was nothing. I could not believe it. He went MIA, disappeared. Yeah. Like nobody caught him in a restaurant.
Yeah, I think he comes back next year. So remind me this time next year when their total is like around 6.5 or 7 to get in on that early. Because I want to make sure.
I don't know. I would have loved to have seen him sniffing around something football related last year. But when you go off the grid like that, you go off the grid for a reason. Like that you don't want to be like no TMZ, no pop. Nobody said 2 words about Andrew Luck last year. Crazy. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Brandon Cooks made his first public comments since being traded for the third time, Joe. Interestingly enough, yesterday says that he feels that teams, it's a good thing to be traded 3 times because that means the teams want him. Now, look, he's got to say all the right things. And look, he's a human being, too. But being moved 3 times doesn't necessarily give you a huge vote of confidence. And at this point, look, Houston's just kind of picking up the pieces after making the trades that they did over the last couple of years.
Right.
But Cooks, as it turns out, goes to a pretty good spot.
Listen, there's a couple of things with what he said there. Number one, it's a it means that you aren't a necessity as much as you are a luxury kind of item for some teams. The good news for you is that while you're not vital to a team's success, apparently that's not how they view you. But what they do think is in most your whole career, you'll be in a place where they think they can win. They'll probably be above average team. So you're going to look at it that way. You're never going to be a guy that's anchoring a team, but you're going to be a guy that can get shipped around to three or four teams, and they'll usually always be contenders.
Yeah, I've always worried about that in sports when especially, Cooks is now at the point where he's been on. Yeah. Is this his fourth team that he's been on?
I think this is his fourth team, yes. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think this is his fourth team, yep.
Yeah, because he played with the New Orleans, he played first. With the Rams, he played with New England, and now
that's right,
Houston. Yeah, yep. I've always, as a young player, Joe, in baseball particularly, mm-hmm. I've always worried about that when a prospect is traded.
Yes,
and I'm always like, well, why did that happen? What did they not see? I'm always a little hesitant with that, especially if it's not for like a superstar type player. Well, like they have their
right. Yeah,
I always get concerned with that. I mean, yep. Cooks at this point. I mean, he kind of is what he is in the NFL. And for fantasy purposes, Joe, he drives you crazy because you just, it's one game, he catches two touchdown passes, 50 yards apiece, and then another one, it's two catches for 15 yards.
He is a great piece to have on a contending team that thinks he is a great piece to have to replace somebody, a superstar that just left like he is in Houston. There you go. You're not going to match DeAndre Hopkins, but you know what? Brandon Cooks, all right, he's been around for a little. Okay, Brandon Cooks, all right, we'll bring him in.
The name's good. Sounds like a good name.
It fills a lot of, it saves somebody's arse in the front office for sure. Yep, for big time.
All right, so here's what's coming up here on the show. Coming up next, we're going to dive into our stadium tour.
No, oh, more.
In fact, another Gator. We're doing Gator soccer.
Gator, yeah.
Our producer, Brett, has provided me and said, look, I know that he said, I know you're doing a great job with all of these stadiums, but I can tell that it's getting a little thin. So let me give you some suggestions.
The field hockey at Florida did it. Huh?
and he said, you know, women's lacrosse. No, I'm kidding. So he gave some suggestions, and I'm taking them under advisement. I used one of his suggestions, and I used one of my own.
Okay.
And I will say that I was saving this one for the end of the week.
Okay.
Because I was going to celebrate the end of the week with turning to the month of May.
Okay.
Doing a school that you're familiar with, and then going through your old baseball cards. I can't believe you only gave me 2 out of 3 this week. I am very disappointed.
I know.
You made a promise. You didn't keep it. Now we have to wait till next week to do
that's
it.
That's it. We'll get it. We'll have it though. But I'll give you a couple
next
of horse
week,
winners.
Joe.
Tomorrow.
Next week, bust them out. We got to go through the Ranieri collection.
I'll Smarty Jones you this weekend. No, I'll give you a couple of tips that you can clear house at the Arkansas.
All right, that'll make up for sure. All right, we'll be right back with more fantasy sports today. Coming up next, where did Joe Ranieri go to college?
No.
That is the topic of discussion coming up next. You may be surprised with the answer. How does a guy from Long Island end up in the Southwest somewhere? It's an interesting, maybe we'll find that out. We'll do that next right here on FST. Craig and Joe on SportsGrid, sportsgrid.com. We're back right after this. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Today, Craig and Joe here with you as we close out the week. We start off fresh, May the 1st, with a brand new stadium tour. The month of May is going to be our last month stuck at home, I have a feeling. But it doesn't mean that the show doesn't keep rolling with our stadium tours. Now, Joe, I had a lot of choices today.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned previously, our producer, Brett, gave me some good opportunities, put a list together for me. I think that starting next week, as long as we're still stuck, okay, we'll keep going with this segment here.
Fair enough.
But I used one of the two. Would you like to take a guess as to the other that I chose for today?
I'm trying to think. How many were sent your way? How many were sent to you?
About 10.
All right. You only picked one of them, huh?
Yeah, you see, Brett is he's a very big basketball guy. He's okay. A very big college and pro guy. So it always kind of comes back to that with him. And I got to tell you, it was really nice to get a suggestion. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that I used it. But I was already, you know what, bent on going with another one because I fully wanted to reward you for bringing in your baseball card collection, which you did not do.
Yeah. Now, in my defense. No, that's not going to work either.
No, you have to defend.
You know why?
Mm-hmm. On Monday, you promised.
Yes, I did. I have them out. Friday. That's the worst part about it. Like, I know.
So how about next week? Would you promise by the end of next week, a double promise?
I'm bringing them in. I'm putting them in the car. This way I don't have to worry about it.
Next Friday. Done.
We're going to be good.
And you'll surprise me with them. I'll try and see what they are. Maybe absolutely. I'll guess them live on the show. This is what we do here.
Absolutely. I'll give you my Oscar Gamble special there with the Padres. You're good to go. Dave Winfield. Like, you're in. See?
Okay. So Joe has promised a second time. We'll see. It didn't go well the first time, but he's made the. We'll give him a break because of the draft, the NFL draft.
It's like a month
ago. Got to throw some excuse out there, right?
I couldn't come over when I was trying.
There you go.
I was happy doing University of Florida tennis courts. I would have been there.
There you go. You wanted to do that. Joe was like, I forgot the cards. You know, the Universal DH is coming. I got sidetracked.
I got a redraft. I'm so redrafting.
Redraft in the fantasy league. You know, my League of Legends league. How you doing? I don't know.
I haven't looked at it yet. Yes, I know. It's terrible. Yeah.
You're only 70 games in. You'll be fine. All right. Here we go. Our first stadium. We are going to.
Where are we going?
The place that Joe Ranieri went to college in.
Wow.
Here it is.
Damn.
Boone Pickens Stadium.
Wow.
Opened up in 1920. Joe was there for the christening. He was there. Wow. He cut the cord on that.
Okay. Wow.
1920. Home of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, college football championships. Well, not many. How did the college baseball team do when Joe Ranieri was at Oklahoma State?
We were there. We went to the regionals. We went to the World Series.
Really?
Yeah, we went to the World Series 92, 90. We were there 90. That was when Robin Ventura and Pete Incaviglia went, and good old Coach Gary Ward. We had this habit of getting there and not winning. We lost in the championship game to Georgia in 91-0 there. And we always made it to the regionals, always made it to the College World Series, but just never were able to get over that hump from the baseball perspective. But Boone Pickens is interesting. Because I would have went with Henry Ibaa, but that's all right. We'll go Boone here because he only dumped $14 trillion after I left into this place. And I mean, the facilities were a little, and don't get me wrong, they were all right. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but what they did after when they dropped that money in there, it's unbelievable, to tell you the truth. But nice place. Got some history.
And how many times have you been back there since you've graduated? Zero?
Once. I think I was there once or I went a couple of times. I went. Okay. Yeah, we had some reunions.
I wouldn't expect
stuff
like 10, but I would expect
no. No. I went there when he first gave him the money and they redid it and they blew it up like that. I went to go check it out and then I was really aggravated that, you know, he did it after we all left anyway. But Eskimo Joe's still there. All the other stuff still there. You know, tumbleweed.
Do you keep in touch with any baseball buddies or no?
I do. Yeah, I talked to a couple of the guys. A lot of the football dudes, we were really close. All these big boys from Texas, though. I talked to them a lot throughout. So, and they're just as mad as I was. So that was good to go.
I bet.
Yes.
Better facilities, more success.
Mm-hmm. Jason Gielden was there when I was there. So
you could have been playing in the big leagues with a little bit of better facilities.
Thank you. At least that's what I tell myself. So, yeah.
Instead of grabbing baseball cards for the show.
Bam. Thanks.
And hitting a button.
I need it.
Okay. Where do we go? Okay. Back to the historical players that played at Oklahoma State. So I'll just give you what I think here.
All right.
And then, Joe, you'll weigh in on this. But look, 1 and 2 are like the best duo ever in the history of any college football team.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas played on the same team, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, like crazy.
Now, not for a long time, but they did play with each other for 1 year. Barry Sanders, of course, Heisman Trophy winner. Thurman Thomas, got to the Super Bowl 4 different times. Sanders, a Hall of Famer. Thurman Thomas, a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Joe, you cannot find a better duo in college than these two. It's never going to happen in the history of football.
Yes, I would. And it was funny because Thurman was older, and Thurman Thomas, Barry Sanders didn't start until he was basically his last year there, and he was a junior because Thurman had really was the workhorse, and Barry Sanders had a couple of his last year there just before he got drafted was still one of the all-time greatest seasons a football player and a running back has had in college football. He was just an absolute monster. But, that's not a bad place to go from Thurman Thomas to Barry Sanders back-to-back.
Right.
My word.
Okay, and after that, it gets a little thinner, but you've heard of the guys. Leslie O'Neal, great defensive end for the Chargers for many years.
Yeah,
really good player, underrated, not talked about enough, but was in an era where the Chargers weren't very good.
Right.
Russell Okung, of course, Pro Bowl offensive tackle for feels like a decade, once with Seattle and then moved on.
Yep.
And then people forget about Justin Blackmon. He is one of the biggest wide receiver busts in the history of the NFL, unfortunately.
Yep.
But in college, Joe, this guy was unstoppable. They were. I think it was Whedon maybe was a quarterback. He would just throw it up, and it was like 50-yard touchdown after 50-yard touchdown. Unfortunately for Blackmon, he got himself into some trouble over the years, and it didn't work out. And it was, Jaguars will go back and tell you it's probably their worst pick ever. But look, you're going to give credit to what they did in college. I got to put Blackmon on here.
Yeah, Blackmon, but you forgot the piece de resistance there. You can't have Blackmon without having the dude that came before him. Guy by the name of Dez Bryant was also a Oklahoma State Cowboy there. They did have a string. Cool. Yeah, they had a string of wide receivers there also, the guys that were a lot of hype coming out.
Did Dez Bryant have more than one good year at Oklahoma State?
He had two good years. He did. He had a thing. His final year there was the best year. Obviously, that's when he got drafted, but he kind of paved the way. Then Blackmon came in, and Blackmon was great, but Blackmon was a lunatic. They knew it there at the school, so he was a few fries short of a Happy Meal. They knew that. But their coach also played there for 4 years there. Good old the mullet was there for a while.
I like their coach a lot.
Yep.
I like Mindy.
Gielden, too, was another big guy. Jason Gielden played a long time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Brandon Pettigrew was there too for a long time. And of course, there was a couple of other running backs too. I think Hartley Dykes. That was the guy that got them all in trouble. He was the guy that originally they got busted for recruiting. That's what started the downward spiral there on the sanctions that came in from the NCAA. Somebody bought him a car when they went there, and wouldn't you know it, that ended up coming out, and then he went to the NFL with the Patriots, and he was terrible, but He was a pretty decent wide receiver in college, but wasn't worth the hype. And then the guy, maybe the biggest, baddest MF of them all, Dexter Manley, was
Yeah,
so he was that was Jimmy Johnson's coaching tenure.
Wow.
And Dexter, you'll be glad to know, graduated with an Oklahoma State degree, and yet we found out years later he could not read or write. So tells you everything you need to know about Jimmy.
Joe Ranieri, my co-host on Fantasy Sports
I'm just, Today. That's it, man. So I got that paper. I can't read it to you, but it's there.
had you ever considered going anywhere else besides Oklahoma State?
Where I had originally I was going to Miami. I was good old Coach Hunter there, Ron Hunter, back in the day. I
went Frazier.
Yeah, Frazier, rather. I'm sorry. We had Stetson, where Tim Foley was the coach at the time. Yeah, Stetson University, Miami, Arizona State, Oklahoma State. And I chose Oklahoma State because it was just coming off of Pete Incaviglia and all of that, you know, Robin Ventura and all of these. You know, I was like, and it's Oklahoma. How much trouble can I get in Stillwater? You know, I mean, getting here in Miami, I was like, I'm never going to class. Like, are you got to be kidding me? And I figured it's cows. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, you made the right decisions.
No, it was nothing to do there. It was nothing to do but get into trouble there.
Go figure. Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Man, a lot of tumbleweeds, baby.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leave the weed out, Joe. All right, here we go. So let's move on from college football to college basketball. Ooh. And this is a Brett Levy special here today. We've got Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
Yes.
In Lawrence, Kansas, home of the Kansas Jayhawks. They
have
won three
there?
College. I have not.
No, you never. Yeah, that's a special place, man. I'm not gonna lie.
I have not been there. Now, three championships. I did throw in. You could see the one all the way to the left there on your screen. 1923. They did not win that one in Allen Field, Fog Allen Fieldhouse. But I don't know why. I just felt like adding it today to the mix. So, look, Joe. There's no doubt that when you're talking about iconic college basketball teams, North Carolina, Duke, we covered both those. Kentucky, we covered both. We covered them too. We even covered the Gators. Kansas is always top two or top three for sure, right? I mean, without a doubt. They're always in the mix.
Yep. Yep. I can, for years, that has always been, it used to be the Big Eight, you know, before it was the Big 12. And Kansas was as dominant then with Roy Williams as they are now with Coach Bill Self. They are, it is a pipeline. It always was. They were never good at anything else, Canada. The football team was terrible. You know, nobody, their baseball team was terrible. Like, everything else was terrible about them. But when it came to basketball and you went to a game there, like, hold on to your hat, man. That was, they love themselves some Kansas basketball in Kansas. That's for sure. Yep, big time.
All right, so let's take a look at the most iconic players in the history of Kansas basketball and really the top two.
Oh, the guy at the top, that's right. Did he play there? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing player.
Yes.
What's funny is that he was in a tournament, a college all-stars tournament or high school. It was college all-stars tournament in New York. And I think the story goes is that he was walking down the street because his car broke down.
Okay.
On the way to the stadium. And my dad was driving by and ended up picking him up and taking him to the stadium.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did he know at the time? Did your dad know? Or just like,
he was like 7 foot. Like,
yeah, it was kind of hard to hide.
And he wasn't like, but at the time, it wasn't thinking of like celebrity. It was just kind of like, oh, that's that guy, Will Chamberlain, who's 7 foot and plays college basketball.
Yeah.
Now, forget it. You know, that kind of stuff would never happen.
And he chose Kansas. That's great. That's crazy. Wow.
Danny Manning was one of the greatest college basketball players of all time.
He had
a very unfortunate NBA career.
Yeah, very good.
His NBA career was south with the Clippers. He kept getting hurt, but he won a championship with Kansas.
Certainly did.
Jacques Vaughn, great point guard for Kansas for a long period of time. Nick Collison holds a lot of the records for Kansas. He played all 4 years there.
Yep.
Paul Pierce, of course. probably the most recent great All-Star, and then Mario Chalmers hit that game-winning shot to give Kansas their most recent college basketball championship. So, of course, we got to put him on the list as well. And the list even is longer than that, Joe. There's other names, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Wiggins was from the – Wiggins, I think, was
– 1 year.
One year. He was kind of one and done. They did have their share of one and dones, too, as well. But, yeah, especially the old school guys. You can go back, guys, and – I think Bill Self even played there, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
I think he played there back in the day, too, as well. So, listen, they're from now until forever, they're going to be a program that when it comes to pipeline to the NBA, they're going to be there for sure. And who was it that told me? Was it Dean Smith might have went there, but then ended up at North Carolina? There was a connection to Dean Smith at Kansas, too, and it wasn't just Roy Williams. He might actually play that. I can't remember, but he was either a coach or a player there back in the day too.
Kirk Heinrich, also a really good player at Kansas. Rafe LaFrentz, people don't remember him too well, but he was a really good player for them as well. And also Frank Mason III in more recent history.
Wow. Yep.
Carried Kansas a couple different late runs for them as well.
Yep.
So there you have it.
Yeah, we got three. Any better than the guy at the top of that list, though. I mean, you know, that's right there. Yeah, that tells you. Yeah, people can't go wrong.
Don't think about that. Don't even.
Nuts.
Wilt played, honestly, forget college for a minute. Wilt Chamberlain played in the wrong era of the NBA, man. Like, yeah, he dominated. Yeah, he was the best player. Yeah, he won a couple of championships. But can you imagine a player like that now in the NBA, what that would be? Just a 7-footer who did everything and led the league in scoring and averaged a triple-double, like blocks and steals and 100-point games. He just, he would just be a legend right now in the NBA.
That game would transfer.
In those great teams and lost a lot of championships to them, but got to a lot as well.
Yep.
Okay, coming up next. Stay tuned. Gray Albright, hang on to your seats. He's going to join us. We'll talk about whether or not you should be redrafting your fantasy baseball league or if you should keep the guys you got. That's coming up next right here on FST. This is Sports Grid. Craig and Joe, we're back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Ranieri. Each and every Friday, we check in with Gray Albright of Razzball.com to see what's happening in the wild, wacky world of Razzball and Gray and Rudy Gamble and Donkey Teeth and all the great people that they have over there getting ready to potentially write about fantasy baseball, because it does look like we are honing in on a season. So that's the good news, Gray. The bad news is that all fantasy leagues, it was just announced 10 minutes ago, are having to redo their drafts. So it's mandated by Rob Manfred, the commissioner.
Oh, I love it.
speechless. Man, you've been he's speechless.
85 leagues? Are you yes. serious right now?
Yep. Ah, well, said it. You got to do it.
I guess I can avoid taking Chris Sale in 84 of them.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. You never know, though. You know, he could throw righty.
Could be. Yeah,
oh God!
How would you sum up the month?
Wait! I missed you, but let me talk for a second. So listen. Okay. So what is the deal with people redoing their drafts? I mean, come on, really?
Like, is everything
really changing that much? Like, sure.
Yes.
There's going to be a few differences later on.
A few.
There's going to be a few differences, like universal DH. No, seriously, though. When you are drafting a team, do you not like the guys you're drafting? What, all of a sudden, did Pete Alonso lose his starting job? I don't understand what all this is about with
redraft. Well, I'll explain it to you if you like.
I can't. Let me get some popcorn. Hold on. This is going to be good. I just want to get...
First of all, the universal DH is definitely in that big pie chart that you have behind you. I know you use pie charts all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not 80% of the pie, but it's 10 or 20% of the reason. I think that's fair. I think that the universal DH is part of it. Gray, we don't know where they're playing these games yet. We have no idea. Let's assume they're playing in their parks, and we'll just move on from that. They're all realigning. The teams are all playing different teams in different leagues. I mean, that's definitely part of it as well. And on my big pie chart that I have in my house, that's another 10, 20%. Okay? So now I've just given you 20 or 30% of a reason to redraft. And now let me give you one more.
Uh-oh.
Great. There's a chance that every single rookie and top prospect in Major League Baseball is opening up the season with their big league team. Every single one of them. If they work out a deal that basically stunts the service time for all of these rookies, and there certainly is a chance that could end up happening, they would push back every one of those guys that no one took in drafts, or maybe somebody took in all those early drafts, and you get them right away on your Major League Baseball team. I mean, we did not know that going into the draft.
Okay, let's just start at the top. So a universal DH. Let's start there, because that's the one that has really got me a little bit head scratching. So you have a pandemic, and you decide the best way to fight against this is by instituting a universal DH? What? That doesn't even make any sense.
I'm not saying it makes sense, but that's the fact.
This is like getting a new DVD player because your garage needs new pavement. Like, what do you? Like, what does a DH have to do with this?
Because they want to have a universal DH eventually, and this is the way that they get to do it. This is why.
Why would they do it now? I don't understand that. Like, that is like, it's like, okay, we have to delay the season because of the pandemic. I understand. So we're going to start games in July. I understand. Maybe we're not going to be able to play in our home stadiums. I understand. Oh, also, there's going to be a DH. What? Why? Why are you changing the DH? And if you're in a home stadium, why are you changing the divisions? Does it matter if you're going from, like, Toronto to Miami versus Toronto to Texas? Yeah. Like, what's the difference? I don't understand
everything. The first point that you made is fair. The second point I would disagree with. I think less travel is better, and I think that the season itself will probably have 4 or 5 game series instead of 2 or 3. They're trying to limit the travel. I get that.
No, I mean, I understand there's going to be less travel, or they're trying to limit the travel, but on the other hand, is Toronto to Miami really a big, like, is that a big difference between Miami and going to San Diego? I mean, I don't know. What is that? An extra hour in the plane? That is a private plane, by the way. I mean, it's not like they're flying Delta. I mean, let's be real here.
TWA. They're on TWA.
They're on Eastern. They're flying Eastern. Yeah.
It's not the people's choice. What are you talking about?
Okay, so hypothetically, let's say that is the case. That, I mean, have I made a case for you with you or no? You still want to.
Okay. So if they change the entire league for the pandemic, if they're like, you know what, we have a pandemic, So that means pitchers can't hit. I'm sorry for whatever reason.
That's whatever, right?
What we decided against. But okay, if there is a universal DH, I agree. It's going to change the complexity of things. But you can get around this by maybe you give an extra like three-round draft in every league. You don't have to redraft. I don't want to redraft every team. I don't want to go.
You don't have to. I'm not forcing anyone to do anything. I just think it's the right thing to do. Like, I mean, Gray, the Cubs now have Ian Happ as their DH playing every day.
I love that. And you know what? I wrote an Ian Happ sleeper post in December because foresight. You know,
he's getting 500 at bat. That's it. Look, and that has to change the equation. And great, the other part is, did you draft Casey Mize anywhere?
No, I didn't. I did draft.
No, he's on the opening day roster now of the Tigers. Congratulations for not doing that.
That's a fair point. And I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. There's definitely there's no minor league season. I mean, that makes no sense at all. Like, there's no revenue for minor league season for them to bother like trying to like quarantine and, you know, herd the cats of the minor leagues. That makes total sense to me. I get it. You're going to have minor leaguers on the major league team, and they're going to fudge a little bit with the service time. That all makes sense. And that's why I'm saying you do an extra three rounds on each draft if you want. I mean, but redrafting, I don't want to lose the guys I have. I really don't want people to get away with drafting Chris Sale. That's I want people screwed who got Chris Sale.
Be honest, though. How many of your lineups, of your teams you've already picked here to this point, what percentage would you be like, you know what, I probably should redraft here, where you'd want to redraft as opposed to having to redraft?
Okay, now, first of all, I don't even know if I remember my team.
I don't remember mine either.
But if I were to remember the teams and I were to actually have them in front of me, which I do not, I would say that probably 95% of the team is going to be fine and maybe 5% of the team is going to change dramatically. But in any scenario during the season, by this point in the season, 5% of the team has changed anyway.
Right.
When you draft in March for an NL-only team and you're like, you know, you're guessing who's going to be the starter, I mean, you have no idea in March who's going to be the starter when you're drafting then. So just because you're now looking at a situation where Mackenzie Gore is making the roster, if you took that flyer, good for you. I mean, I did take that flyer. So that's why I'm excited about that one. But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
No, I do. And I think that the one point in your favor with this, and I would say that this, it does really lend to not redrafting, especially in auction leagues in particular. In the snake draft, I don't care. I think everybody should be redrafting. But I know that you in particular and Rudy, I mean, you guys have software and you basically would be tipping your cards if you had to redraft. It's like everyone would know who you like. And everyone would still know who you're like going into the next draft. So maybe you should have came at me with that and I would have said okay.
Look, he's arguing both sides for you.
But not in a snake draft. In a snake draft, Gray, everyone should take 2 hours and redo it.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, I mean, it makes sense to me. I understand the pros and cons to redrafting, but I feel like, honestly, there's so many situations where you have no idea what's like. Everyone thinks they know, but you really have. It's like William Goldman once said, nobody knows anything. Like, you're in the beginning of March. You're drafting, assuming some guys are going to make the roster. Like, I assumed Ian Happ was going to make the roster in a draft in February, but I didn't in other leagues. It doesn't mean, like, now suddenly you're drafting with the knowledge. I wouldn't have known in February if he made the team either. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's just so, like, redrafting sucks, dude.
What's the other option then? What is it? Just waiver wire time? Like, what's the other option here if you don't?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I think you go with a scenario where you do a supplemental draft. That I could see, where you're like, okay, let's do three rounds. So this way, if people were in, you know, this is probably for shallower leagues, but, you know, for the people who didn't draft the Mackenzie Gores, Casey Mizes, Matt Mannings, those guys, then you go out and you say, okay, I'll do three rounds. Here we go. Go draft your rookies who are now going to be on the team. Because, you know, in a lot of shallower leagues, those guys wouldn't be there. That's actually right now in Razzball, I'm going around and I'm, you know, I'm doing posts about guys that I think will now be on a team. Like Nate Pearson is, I had a post today about him because I didn't draft him in any leagues up until, you know, before the season because I didn't think he was making the team, but now I do. So, I mean, I get it with something like that, but a supplemental draft, redrafting is like, ah, so bad.
Yeah. As part of this, and again, what's interesting in the conversations that I have from what I am told behind the scenes is that we as the media have absolutely no clue as to what Major League Baseball's plan is really going to be. And the stuff that has been leaked is only a small percentage of what the actual plan is. There are some theories that are behind it that are involved, but apparently there is so much more that we have no idea about. So I guess we'll just, you know, have to wait and see. Look, I agree with you, Gray, in some forms, you know, and I think it is hard to get everybody back together again in person for sure. I mean, it just doesn't seem realistic, but I think some teams are going to look really bad. I got to tell you, I think it's going to turn out that way. And again, definitely,
I think there'll be a lot more luck involved with,
of course, and that's fine for 1 year, yeah.
But also in real baseball. I mean, there's going to be a 100-game season takes a lot of like the great thing about baseball is usually by 162 games, it has, you know, separated the wheat from the chaff. And it's like, okay, well, there's going to be like a guy who does well in the first half, but his BABIP neutralizes and he's not a 370 hitter over the course of 162 games. Whereas like in a 100-game season, suddenly there's going to be guys that's like these weird anomalies where it's like, wow, he had a 415 BABIP and he hit 385. Like what? How is a Med Rosario hitting 385?
Right.
There's going to be guys like that. I mean, it's just going to happen.
It's true. Look, the Nationals wouldn't have made the playoffs last year if it was 100 games. They won the World Series.
Sure. I completely agree.
I think pitching is going to be a lot less interesting. Exactly.
Yeah.
Pitching's off the wall. I mean, good luck.
Yeah.
What would you anticipate?
I feel like I had an advantage because I never draft pitching high. So I had this advantage, you know, before I knew what was going to happen with the 100-game season. But now all those people who took Garrett Cole in like the first round.
Yeah.
That doesn't look so good anymore.
No.
Good point.
When Garrett Cole is throwing 120 innings and Julio Urias is throwing 110 innings, kind of the same difference, really. I mean, there's not a ton of difference there. So, I mean, those guys who were like, oh, yeah, draft the ace high, like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah, Kirby Yates, good luck with him. How many saves that guy going to get? 10? They're going to mix. Eight different guys are going to get saves on teams this year.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be one.
Middle relievers is like, what goes on with a guy who usually gets 60 to 70 great middle reliever innings, who is good for like a balancing of the ratios? Does a guy like that who gets 30 innings matter? I mean, do you go out and get that?
People feel that they do, but if not, if they expand the rosters by five, they don't.
There's going to be like, and exactly. And if the game, and if the season is compressed in a way where pitchers are just going to, like, they're piggybacking starters, say, and you're getting a guy like Chris Paddock for four innings and LeMay for four innings versus both of them going for six in two separate days, changes everything.
Right. Well, if they play one doubleheader a week, what are the odds that Kirby Yates is closing out game one and game two? None. Yeah, so you just need the save opportunity there without even having it. Let's end with this.
I said, the way you're like laying it out, I mean, I do understand that it's probably more fair to redraft, but I get it.
But listen, we gotta wrap it up. Let me end with this. Hypothetically speaking, in 2 weeks, we get a firm idea, a schedule, a league. It's going to happen. I can't predict because I don't know. But let's say sometime in June or July, 100 games. People are going to Razzball. They're signing up. Gray, how many leagues will you partake in that are brand new when you hear about the new season? How many will you partake in?
If you're saying not redrafting, like if I'm not the commissioner and they're just brand new, totally brand new leagues, I would say probably three, maybe, just to have, like, you know, to balance out the portfolio, to have a few teams that I drafted at after the season was announced. This way I could see personally if there's a difference, because, you know, I'm talking to an audience at Razzball that will be some will be redrafting. So I want to have, you know, that POV of a redrafter. So I might do like maybe three just to see what it's like.
Okay. Hey, hope you're well. It's good to talk to you. Good to see you. And we'll catch up again next week, okay?
All right, talk to you later.
All right, Gray Albright from Razzball.com with us. A really interesting dynamic making the decision as to whether or not you should redraft, you should draft again, what the season will look like, what the leagues will look like. I will say this as we close. A lot of people are going to be drafting when it's all said and done. That'll do it for the show. For Gray Albright, Joe Ranieri, I'm Craig Mish. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.